begin the current daf, Masechet Chulin daf Tzadi Aleph. Begin 7 lines down with the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, and that is we had quoted from our Mishnah that said regarding this opening halacha of our parak of Gid Hanasha, the prohibition to eat and consume the sciatic nerve in an animal, the Mishnah had said that that applies to both the right thigh and the left thigh. The Gemara pointed out that we find the Braisa Nalik Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that only one of the two Gid Hanashas are forbidden, and however it's not clear which one it is, but Hadas Machras, that the intellect would indicate that it's the right one. So now the Gemara asks, which das did he talk about? His own das, and therefore he's still in doubt? Or is it the das Torah, which is machria, which then is conclusive that it's the right one, and therefore for sure that one and not the other one? So the Gemara continues to try to bring a proof to that question. Tashma, we learn in the Mishnah later on that Tzadik Vav Menalf that says the following halacha. Achol mizekezais umizekezais. Someone eats an olive size of the Gid Hanasha of the right thigh, and the olive size, which is the minimum to be liable for, of the left side. Now, for the fact that he used the terminology of ochem mizekezais and mizekezais, and it doesn't just say simply, if he eats two olive size pieces from both of them, obviously because it's referring to two separate acts of consumption with a different warning before each act of consumption. So it says the Tanakama, seifik shmeinim, so you get 80 lashes, two sets of lashes, because Tanakama holds, like the Tanavai Mishnah, that both are forbidden. So if you eat from both, you're going to get two sets of lashes. Behudaim, he says, no, in a sevig il arbam, you only get one set of 39, 40 lashes. Says the Gemara, iam bishlem mifshad pshitalei, if you say that Rabbi Huda had resolved conclusively that it's the right one that's forbidden, not the left one, so shaper, it makes sense, that's why you're going to get one set of lashes, not for the left one, because that's permitted, and because of the forbidden one, the right one. Eli iam mitzvuki misavkilei. But if you say Rabbi Huda was in doubt, he wasn't sure which one it is. So although you're eating from both, the right and the left, but ultimately, havli hasra safik. It's a doubtful warning. Before each one that he's about to eat, each one was a separate warning. When you're warning him on that one, you don't know for sure that's forbidden or not. V'shamin l'Rabbi Yehuda, and we know that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, da masra safik, lish masra. It doesn't qualify for a warning if it's a doubtful warning, and therefore you can't get lashes. So how would he even get one set of lashes? Where do we find Rabbi Yehuda holds this idea? It's kind of like learning the braisa. Hikezeh, v'chazav hikezeh. This is a child that was born 9 months after his mother was still married to her first husband, but which was 7 months after she had remarried her second husband. Now, we're not sure the paternity of the child. Is he from the first father, which was 9 months, and he's being born 9 months? Or is he 7 months old being born, which is from the second father? So it's not clear which is his father, that he has these specific violations of forbidding to hit the father or curse him. So he hits this one, that father, and he hits that father, or he first curses this one, and then he curses the other one, or he hits both of them at the same time, or he curses both of them at the same time. Either way, says the Tanakhama Chaim, he's going to be liable, because ultimately, one of them is the right father, and he cursed and hit both of them, whether at the same time or not, he was warned, and he violated. But Rabbi Huda, I mean, he disagrees. He says, no, bevasachas, if he hit them at the same time, so then he's chayiv, then he's liable, because when they warned him before and they saw his one hit, he's going to hit both of them. Now they're warning him, that's a definite warning, because in this act, he's for sure going to have been hitting one of them. But bezachas apater, if he did at different times, even though they warned him about each one, he's exempt because it's hasra suffix, and he does not consider that as a hasra. So obviously that Rabbi Huda has to hold mifshad pshitalei, because if it was sevukim misafkalei, he actually wouldn't even get one set of lashes. Says Gemara, no, it's not a raya. Hai Tana, the Tana of Rabbi Huda, on the Mishnah later on, Tzadik Vav Men Aleph, Sovel Ki'idach Tan Rabbi Huda, holds like a different version of Rabbi Huda's opinion. The Amah Hasra suffix, Shema Hasra, that holds that a doubtful Hasra is considered Hasra. So therefore, it could be he holds sevukim misafkalei, and even though it's a doubtful warning, but ultimately, well, you violated one of them, because you ate the right and the left, even though in different times, and you would be chai for that one set of lashes. Where do we find this opposing interpretation of Yehuda, that Hasra suffix is Shema Hasra? The time like Luna Bryson. Pasuk says in Shemais, Leisisur mimen ad baker, don't leave over from the carbon until the morning. And like the Pasuk there concludes, if you left it over till the morning, then be'esh tisreifa, then you have to burn that nicer in the fire. Says the first opinion, Baha kasav lit naseach leisisay. The Pasuk is coming to give you what's called a nitig lasay. It's rectifying the violation of the negative prohibition that you violated by leaving it over, by rectifying it, by committing a positive commandment to ameliorate that, okay, you left that over, now go ahead and burn it. Which already explained the sugi in Perek Oysa Mitzvah in Pei Gimel Med Aleph, that any time one violates the Isra of Naisra, of leaving it over, if he's getting warned to technically get lashes, it's a doubtful warning. Because when you're warning him, don't leave it over, we're not sure, is he violating it or not? Because maybe right before Alei Sashach, he has time until the moment of daybreak, he might eat it. Now, in spite of that, we find that to exempt him from lashes, even though it's Asura Safik, this first opinion says, why is there a nasay after the laisasay? Loimer shein leikalab. That's to tell you you're not going to get lashes. The Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, this version of Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you didn't have the nitik lasay, if you didn't have the positive commandment of burning that nais in the fire, you would get lashes. What it means, hasra safik. We see Rabbi Yehuda holds, according to this version, that hasra safik is shema hasra, and therefore, again, that previous braisa, that previous mishnah, dab tzadik vav, could be mesufke mesafkele, and he'll still get that one set of lashes. Continuing this, Bryce, Rabbi Yaakov, I mean, he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the reason why you don't get lashes for Neisser is not because of Nitik Laseh. He says, Leimen HaShem is that. He says, that's not the reason. Because it's a violation of a negative commandment in a passive way. It's not an active way. And any negative violation that's violated passively, one doesn't get lashes. But again, therefore, that previous proof is inconclusive. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a different Raya from the following Bryce. Achol beis gidin, says the Braisa, if an individual ate two giranoshes, mebeis yireches from two thighs, mebeis behemoth from two animals, so the Tanakhama says, seifik pei, he gets 80 lashes, two sets of lashes, because he ate two giranoshes. And every giranosh, according to Tanakhama, like the Tanava Mishnah, is a violation. Behudai me says, no, eina seifik ilarba, you only get one set of lashes. Says the Gemara, mebeis yireches, mebeis behemoth. From the fact that it picks specifically two thighs from two animals. Why is it picking two thighs from two animals? Obviously, because we want to have the same thigh, which we're proving obviously means the right thigh. Because if it would be the right and the left, so why? What's the difference between two animals and one animal? It's the same thing, one or two animals. Obviously, we're picking two thighs from two animals because we want it to be the same thigh. And how do you have the same thigh? It must be from another animal. Now, pshita de tavai li sura. Obviously, that. Why are we picking these two animals from that same thighs? Because both of them are going to be prohibited. Now, Uder Bihuda Itzrich. And that would be necessary to tell you only according to Bihuda. Meaning, even though both of them are prohibited because both are the right, but still, and that's where the Chiddush is coming to tell us Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, as we see his opinion is, that he exempts the person who violated both those thighs, both Giranushas, with one set of lashes. Now, the reason for that, the Gemara will shortly explain the reason, which there's discussion regarding precisely what that interpretation is, where, as the Bach brings in the interpretation of Rashi, as we had previously in the Pei Gimel and Aleph, is talking about when someone eats these two thighs, one has a kezias, one does not have. Because actually, if neither one had a kezias, then they wouldn't combine even for one set of lashes. But either way, one thing that we see is that if Rabbi Yehuda was in doubt, why would he get even one set of lashes? Maybe both of them are permitted. You're saying they're both the same one. They're both the same right one. Right? When Yehuda says Adas Machras, if you hold Mesuka Mesafke, it wasn't conclusive. He said it would seem to be, but he was in doubt. So Shema Minah Mifshe Pshikles. Obviously, if we're saying that he's going to get at least one set of lashes, we'll explain shortly why you don't get two, but why are we picking two different animals? That's only relevant according to Yehuda. According to Tanakhama, it doesn't make a difference. Any thigh from the same animal, right, left, you're going to get the 80 lashes. Must be telling us, according to Yehuda, that you're going to get one set of lashes, even though they're both the right, as we explained shortly, the Echidish and why you're getting one, but you're getting at least one, why are you getting one? If it's Sukkah Misafki, they're both right, maybe right's not the one, maybe left is the one, maybe you shouldn't be liable for anything. Obviously, Shema Minah says the Gemara, that's a conclusive proof that Yehuda was, he resolved it, as the Gemara shortly is going to bring the proofs from the Pesukim and the Torah, that Das Torah Machras, the Torah was conclusive that it's the right one, not the left one. And therefore, that we see that that's definitively his opinion. Now, the Gemara asks, but the Pshitle, but if that's the case, as we were just alluding to this question, that it's for sure the right one, Samai Sefik Mem Vesulai, then why does he only get one set of lashes in the case we just described? Lilkipay, he should actually get 80 lashes, because he's eating two right thighs, which have in them the two Giranushas of the right side, with, from two different animals, which he holds that that's conclusively the one that's forbidden. Says Gemara Hachmai Skin, what are we talking about over here? Case Kugin the Lesbe Kizayis. That one of them doesn't have an olive size, which Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere. Tanlik Lin or Braisa. Achloi, someone eats an intact Gid Hanasha, Ve'im b'kazayis, and it doesn't have the requisite shear of a olive size, says the Tanna Kama, chayv, he's still going to be liable, like someone who eats a complete ant, where he's liable, even though it's less than a shear, because it's a complete creature. Here also, the Tanna Kama considers the Gira Nasha as its own entity, and therefore liable. He says, no, actually, unless until it has the size of a gezayis. So therefore, the case of being chayiv only one, not two, is where one of the gerenashas was a gezayis, the other one wasn't. Tanna Kama holds you be chayiv on both, and Rebbe says you only chayiv on the one that has a gezayis. Now the Gemara says, now that we prove that Yehuda was conclusive that it's the right one, so b'tayim amai, what's the reason why it was obvious to him from the Torah, according to Yehuda, that it's the right side, the right thigh, which that gerenashas is the one that's forbidden? So Amar Rav, he says, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in Bereishis, which is the source of this Pasuk, that the Jewish people do not eat the Gira Noshim, that's Al-Kaf HaYorech, that's on the spoon, which is that fleshy part of the thigh, that sinew that's there. What's HaYorech, the thigh? HaMeyumenesh HaYorech. It's the more prominent, the right is always the more prominent of the thighs. It's that one that's forbidden, the right side, not the left side. Now, Verabun, however, they would tell you, this that says HaYorech is coming to tell you that it's talking about that gid of that sinew, of that side. Meaning, hahu de pashar isur bekula yerech, we're talking about that gid hanasha, that its prohibited element spreads throughout the thigh. It, with its tendrils and its roots, they spread throughout the thigh. That's the inner gid, which is long, which goes and branches out from the top part of the thigh, as we explained previously on the top of this amid. That's what it's saying when it's saying Hayorech, Lafuki Chitzya and Delay, excluding the outer gid. It's not talking about which side. When it's talking about Hayorech, Ha is going on the gid part, the gid Ha Nosha, Asha Al Kafa Yorech, that is saying the prominence of which gid, but not which thigh, because actually it's both thighs according to the Rabban. A different source for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Shuman Levi Amar, he says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, again in that context, when Yaakov had fought with the Malach of Esav, which then Yaakov's gid was Nasha, as we're going to shortly explain. It says, Biha'afka imay, that when he was wrestling with him, then he dislodged his thigh. Now, ka'adim shechavik es chaver, it's like a person who's hugging his friend, who's in front of him, which is how people wrestle. Now, v'yadei, the right hand of the opponent, magas lekaf yimina shel chaver, it reaches all the way to the right thigh of his friend, meaning from behind. When he's reaching over to make him fall, he reaches around his back and comes all the way around to the other person's right thigh, and therefore, again, that's what the Gemara says. That's why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it says the kafa yarech, it's referring to the right thigh and not the left one. Now, however, Bishmul ben Nachmeni Amar, he says a different interpretation. He says, ka'ovid k'chav nidmalai, that Yaakov, the Malach, appeared to him as an idol worshiper, as a non-Jew. So therefore, Yaakov had him go on his right side, so that Yaakov should be prepared to fight with his stronger side on his right side. Now, therefore, since the Malach was on Yaakov's right side, he injured him on the thigh that was closer to him, which was Yaakov's right thigh. The Malach, the master, says elsewhere that this is a halacha, Yisrael shenitfalei abikachav maderech, a Jew that has an idol worshiper who is joining him on the road, so he should join him liyiminoi. He should have the non-Jew on his right side, in case the non-Jew attacks him, he has his stronger side to defend himself. Now, Rav Shmuel bar Acha kamed Rav Papa mishmed Rav bar Ulam, he gives a different interpretation that says, kad tamad chachem nidmalei, that the angel appeared to Yaakov as a Talmudic scholar, and therefore Yaakov was giving him respect as if he was his teacher, keeping him to his right side so that Yaakov should be on the left side of the angel. The Amamak is like the master says, mahalach limin rabbi, if someone goes to the right side of his teacher when they're walking on the road, harei zibur, he's an ignoramus, he doesn't have the wisdom of proper etiquette, and therefore Yaakov went on his left side of the Malach, and therefore it was the right side of Yaakov that was near him that was injured by the Malach. And that's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now, whereas Rabbanon, who they dispute Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold as in our Mishnah that both thighs are forbidden, because they hold me'achori asa. Actually, the angel came on him from his back. V'nashi b'tavayu, and he hit him on both thighs until both of those gids jumped from their place and got dislodged. And that's the reason for their opinion that it's both thighs that are forbidden. Now, ask the Gemara, but Rabbanan, haibi ha'avka imay my darshibe. This that it says that he wrestled with him. What is the purpose and utility of writing this in the Pasuk, if not to teach us the way they wrestle, which the Gemara explained, is to show that, because his hand reached around to his right thigh. But if you're saying that it's both that are forbidden, what's the utility of writing this idea that they wrestled? Says the Gemara, actually needs it for a different interpretation of Rabbi Shmuel Levi in that same pasuk, not to teach that wrestling will hit the right thigh, but a different idea. Rabbi Shmuel Levi says, "Malamet shahalu avik mar galoisam avik, not from wrestling but from the dust, that the dust of their feet went up and reached at kisei hakavod until the throne of glory of Hashem." Where k'siv hacha be'avko ima, here it says that he wrestled with him. K'siv hasam, it says the pasuk in Nachum, it says va'anan, and a cloud avak raglov, the dust of his feet. So you see this idea that that's the clouds that go up and that are from the dust of one's feet. That's what the avik is referring to. Another teaching on this topic from Rabbi Shimon Levi says lama nekrushma gid hanasha. Why is it called the gid hanasha? So nasha is shenashim imkayim, because it jumped from its place of Allah and it went up, meaning it got dislodged. That gid hanasha by Yaakov, and therefore he was injured. And that's the, what the mitzvah says. That's in an animal is forbidden to be eaten. So too, it says a pasuk in Yirmiyah, nashasa gvurasam, that their might jumped away. Hayul nashim, they were as women, meaning they were weak like women. So you see that that's where the word nashim is. It jumps out, got dislodged by Yaakov. Amar Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, he says, Maidach siv, what does it mean the pasuk in Yeshaya? Davar shalach, and the pasuk says, Adonai be Yaakov. There was a thing sent in Yaakov, but nafal be Yisrael, and that fell amongst the Yisrael. What this means too is, Davar shalach be Yaakov, there was something that was sent in Yaakov, Zegir anashim, that was that his sinew was dislodged, the nafal be Yisrael, and that fell in Yisrael, shepashad Yisrael b'chal Yisrael, that now is a prohibition that spread throughout the entire Jewish people, referring to this Yisrael of Gid anashim. Another teaching from Vamar B'Yisrael Rav Chanina on this topic says, "My Siv, what does it mean in Pasuk in Bereishis when Yisrael was telling that they should appear for his brothers who didn't know yet he was Yisrael for a meal?" It says, "B'tavayich tavach v'hachin, go ahead and slaughter and prepare the meat." He was telling that, "Par lehen beis hashchita, go ahead and uncover the area of the slaughtering," mean that they should be able to see, but tavayich tavach, make it definitive, the act of slaughtering, that they shouldn't say that I eat just meat that was torn and not slaughtered, because the sons of Yaakov were kept those mitzvahs, because even though the Torah wasn't given yet, they had already received it as a tradition from their fathers who kept those mitzvahs. And when it says v'hachin, prepare for them, was tul gid hanasha b'fneim, was take out the gid hanasha from in front of them and prepare it and let them know that there's no gid hanasha in there. And that's because Kamandam is going like the opinion that says in the Mishnah later on of Kofim Abayz, that gid hanasha neser, this sciatic nerve, was forbidden for them. Even when they were Libnei Noach, when they were still considered like sons of Noach, in regards that they didn't accept the Torah yet at Har Sinai, still even that they had kept already Gid HaNasha already in those days, and that's why Yosef told them B'hachin to appear and let them know that there's no Gid HaNasha. Now, continuing on the theme that we're talking about regarding this Issa Gid HaNasha, regarding that narrative, which was when Yaakov was fighting with the Malach of Esav, the way it started was the pasuk says, Vayivasa Yaakov Levada, Yaakov was left alone. And then the Malach fought upon him, and he had no one besides himself to fight with him. Now, Amr Balazi says, why was he by himself? Shenishtayr al pachin ketan, because he was left alone because of small jugs, meaning because all the distinct vessels and the livestock had already taken over the Yabik River, as the pasuk says earlier, Vayavas Kalshala, it says he already took over all the stuff over the river. But he was left because of the small jugs that he didn't get a chance yet to take it over, and then it got dark, and that's when the angel fought with him. Now, Mikan, from here we learn, Litzadikim, Shechav Alein Mamayin Yesu Begufim, that their money is more precious to them than their body. You see, he put himself in the situation of danger to save even the small little jugs. Now, V'kol Kach Lama, why is that so? Why would their money be so precious to them? Lefish in Peshin Yidein Begazel, because they don't stretch out their hands in theft, and they're very careful, very meticulous. Every penny has relevancy because it's through hard, honest work, and therefore he put himself in the situation of danger even to get his small jugs. Now the pasuk says, "Vayavik ish imay adalos hashachar," that the man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. Now, from the fact that it says that he fought with him until the break of dawn, obviously that because there's no permission for these heavenly elements to cause danger, to harm someone during the daytime, and therefore, as we're going to shortly quote, there's no requirement of protection during the daytime. But Amr Bitzchik, he says, what you learn from here is, Mikan l'tamal chacham, from here we see that a tamal g'skalo, like Yaakov, you know, shleyitzi chidi b'layli, shouldn't go alone at night time, because we find Yaakov was left alone, and he was injured. Now, Rebaba bar Kahana, Amar Mehachi, brings a different source, why a tamal chacham should not be going at night, like the pasuk says in Rus. As a Ketin Tamad Beis, Rus was told by her mother-in-law, Nami, regarding going to Boyaz. Hine hu zayre es garen hasar, and behold, he'll be winnowing by the granary the barley. And the pasuk says, and he's going to lay down, he's going to go to sleep, and then you go and lay down by his feet. What Naomi was telling her was, you should know that after he finishes the winnowing, he's not going to go home to sleep at night, because it's disgraceful for a Talmudic scholar to go out during the nighttime, and therefore rather he's going to go out and sleep there in the granary. Again, you see a source that Talmud Chacham is not going to go at nighttime by himself. Rebavoa Mohachi brings a different source, a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, Vayashkim Avram Babaker, Vayachvash Es Begaimer, that Avram Avinu got up in the morning, then he saddled his animal, and then he went to go and take care of what he had to do. One thing you see is that he didn't do it before daybreak, even though he wasn't going by himself, for sure when you're going by yourself. Rabban Amir Mahacha, they say a different source of pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, that Yaakov said to Yosef, Lech na re'ei eshleim achicha v'eshleim begaimer, go ahead and see what's the welfare by your brothers, and so on. Which he's saying the terminology see, which is at a time when someone could see, which is during the daytime. But he would not send Yosef, a Talmud Chacham, during the nighttime. Rav Amar Mahachi brings a different source, a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, that says that v'yizuch le'hashemesh, that after this fight that he had with the Malach, that it says that then the sun was shining for him when he passed Penuel, and he was limping on his thigh again because he was injured. Now, Amar Bikiva, regarding this pasuk, he says, Sha'alti es Rabbi Gamliel v'es Rabbi Shua be'itlis, when they were in the marketplace where they sell meat, shel imum, of this place imum, because shehalchu likach behema, they went to purchase an animal, l'mishta b'nei Rabbi Gamliel, for the festivities of the son of Rabbi Gamliel. So they went to buy the meat, and that's where I asked them the following question. K'siv, v'yizuch l'Hashem, it says in the pasuk we just quoted, that the sun was shining for him, for Yaakov. What, v'chishemesh le levad zarcha, what do you think, the sun was shining just for Yaakov? V'aloy l'chaloyim Zarch, what do you mean? It's shining for the whole world. How do we understand the pasuk when it says the sun was shining for him? So Amar Bizkhu says, Shemesh haba bavur, what the pasuk is referring to is the sun that set before its time because of Yaakov. Zarch bavur, that's what's saying, now it was shining because of him. Because again, when it got dark early, now it's getting light early, it's compensating, but it was because of him. And now the Gemara explains, why did the sun set early for Yaakov at one point, and now it's rising for him? It's like the pasuk says, "V'yetzi Yaakov mi'Be'er Shava." It says in the beginning, "Parashat V'yetzi," that Yaakov went out from Be'er Shava, from his parents' house, v'yelech Haran, and he went to Haran, to his uncle, to Lavan, which sounds like that he reached Haran. But then the pasuk says, "Uksiv v'yifka b'makom," that he encountered the place, which is Beisel, which is obviously on the way from Be'er Shava to Haran, which sounds like he didn't reach Haran. So how do we understand this? So rather, what it means is because kimata l'charan ama, he first got to Charan, but when he got there, he said to himself, "Efsha varti amakum shespal labaisa." Is it possible that I passed by the place where my fathers had prayed? Which this base el, that's the makum. It's not the base el that's near I. Rather, this base el is referring to Yerushalayim, and because it's ultimately was going to be the house of God, so it's called base el, the house of God. Which that's Har Maria, which is where Avram Avinu daven. It's also the field where Yitzchak daven, like it says Lasuch Basada. As the Gemara says in Pesachim, Daf Pechasim and Alf. It says the pasuk in Micha, it says El Har Hashem vel Beis Elokei Yaakov. Why is it picked the house of the God of Yaakov? Rather, the pasuk is coming to say not like Avram, who called that area a mountain Har Maria, like it says Bahar Hashem, and not like Yitzchak, they called it a field, like it says Lasuch Basada. Rather, like Yaakov, they called it a bais Beis El. So he said, how could I have passed by where my fathers had daven and I didn't daven? V'ani lo yisbalalti, and I didn't pray over there. So kadyav daitil mahadu, when he already made up his mind that he's going to go back, kaftzli ara. Now kaftza in this terminology doesn't mean jumping, rather like the pasuk li sikfet sasyadecha means to close it up, to contract and close it up. So the earth contracted, and miyad v'yifka b'makom, so immediately he encountered the place, like someone who is walking in one direction and his friend bumps into him, that's going the other direction, which also, v'yifka b'makom also means a terminology of prayer, like a pasuk in Rus says, atifkubi, which is don't bother, don't badger, don't nudge. Like the Chavetz Chaim says that when we daven, Hashem says, nudge me. So he encountered the place. Now, katzoli, when he got back there, kvitza derech, and he prayed, so poilim had, he wanted to go back to Haran. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tzadik Zebo LaBeis Malayna, what, this righteous person came to my place of lodging, V'yifta B'Laylina, and he's going to go back without staying the night? Miyad Bo HaShemesh. So immediately, it says over there, Vayalin Sham, it says that he slept over there, Kivah HaShemesh, because the sun set. Why does it have to say because the sun set? Rather, it's come to tell us that it's set before its time. And that's where the other pasuk says that the sun rose for him because it had already set once early for him, so now the sun is rising early for him. But one thing we see is that why did he sleep there? Because the sun set. What that comes to teach is like what we bring a different source, because the Talmud Chacham is not going at nighttime on the road by himself. Now, relating to this same incident where he was by Basel on his way to Haran and he stayed the night over there. So it says over there, that he took from the stones of the place, which sounds like he took many stones when he was sleeping there at night. Yet the pasuk says, it says later that he took the stone. Sounds like one. That comes to teach you that all the stones there gathered into one place. And each one of the stones said, on me let the righteous person put his head. And they all wanted to be the stone that he's going to put his head on. And Tanu will let the Braisa, but Kula Nivlu Ba'achas, that all of them got absorbed into one stone. They became one stone. And therefore, yeah, it was many stones, but it was also one stone. Now the Pasuk says, when he slept there the night, it says, Vayachalim, that he dreamt. Vihine Sula Mutzav Arza, that he dreamt that there was a ladder that was on the ground, that was, and its top was in the heavens. Now Tanu will let the Braisa, Kamar Ochabish Asulim, how wide was that ladder? So Shmoinis Alofim Parsois, it was 8,000 parsa, which is very wide. A parsa is 2,000 amas. It's very, very wide. Now, how do we know this? Because the Chassid, the Pasuk says, V'hini malachi lehim oilim, that the angels of God were going up, which sounds like they were going up together, not consecutive one after the other. And the plural is two, v'yardim bay, and they were coming down in it. So you have oilim shnaim, you have two going up at the same on the same space, v'yardim shnaim, and you have two coming down. Now, v'chipogu b'hadi adadi, and when they happen to pass the same spot, you're going to have a width on the ladder to hold all four of those angels on the same level. And it says regarding the dimensions of the angel, it says a pasuk in Daniel, Ugviyase, and his body was kisarshish, like the sea which is called Tarshish. Ugmiri, and we have a tradition, the Tarshish, that the dimensions of Tarshish, Tre alpha parsi have a, that sea was 2,000 parsi, so 2 times 4 is 8,000 parsi. That's how wide the ladder was. Now, more of a ton of learning the Brisam. These angels are going up and down. It says, Oilin, they would go up, Umistaklin, and they gaze upwards, Bidyukne Shalmala, in the image that was on top, which was the image of man, which is from the four different images that there were in the Kisya Kavod, and that image was in the image of Yaakov. The Yardin, Umistaklin, and they would go down and look, Bidyukne Shalmata, in the image on the bottom. And that was the same image. So they saw Yaakov on the bottom and on the top. So Boyle Sekune, they wanted to injure him because of jealousy. Like, how could this man, this mortal, be there in the Kisei Kavod and here down on earth? Miyad, immediately, that's what the Pasuk says. Over the Behine Hashem Nitzav, behold, Hashem was standing over Yaakov Avinu to safeguard him. Now, Amr B'Shem Malakish, he says, Il Moli Mikra Kasev, if not for the Pasuk writing this, Yashalom, you wouldn't be able to say it. It was Ka'adim Shemenef Abanai, like a man who's waving a fan over his child to save him from the heat. That was kibiyachal. That was like, so to speak, what Hashem was doing, protecting Yaakov. Now the pasuk says that Hashem said to Yaakov, "Haaretz ashat teshechev alav ugeimer," that the earth which you laid down over there, that's what I'm going to give to you and your descendants. Now says the Gemara, "My revuse, what type of novelty is that? What He guaranteed to give to his children the four amas, that's basically the dimensions of a person that he slept on, that he's giving to his children. So Rabbi Yitzchak Malama, what that teaches actually, Shekafla HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'chol Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu folded over the entire land of Israel, V'nicha Tachas Yaakov Avinu, and he placed it beneath Yaakov Avinu, Shtei Neichili Kavish Labanav, so that it should be easy for his sons to conquer, like the four amas of where he slept. Yeah, he's not giving him just that area, he's giving him the whole Eretz Yisrael. But he folded under him to say, that's how easy it's going to be to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Now going back to that narrative when he was fighting with the Malach, it says Vayimer Shalcheni. So it reached the day break, and the angel said to Yaakov, "Send me away, Ki Al Hashachar, because it's the break of dawn." So Amalei, so Yaakov said to him, "Ganavata, what are you, a thief? A kiyuvstus ato, or are you a kidnapper? Shemisyar min Hashachar, that you're afraid of the morning at daybreak, you got to go into your hiding." So Amalei said to him, "No, Malachani." He says, "I'm an angel. From the day that I was created, but didn't come the time yet for me to sing the song for Hashem. Up until this moment, I quickly have to go. I have to finally sing my song." Says the Gemara, this supports the idea of Chananel Merav. Darmav Chanam Rabbi says, Sholish Kitish Shemalacha Asharis. There's three groups of ministering angels that are new every single day, that they sing a song for Hashem every single day. Achas, and this is that idea that he says, I never got my chance yet. This is the first time, because every day it's a different set of angels. Not like every day the same angels sing the song. Now, in that new angels, there's three groups. Achas Oymes Kaddish. The first group says the word Kaddish, holy. The Achas Oymes Kaddish, the second group says holy. The Achas Oymes, and the third group says Kaddish Hashem Tzavakis, holy is Hashem the Lord of hosts. Like the pasuk we know, Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish Hashem Tzavakis. It's not like they all said that. First group said the word Kaddish, then they were done. Second group says Kaddish, and the third group continues the pasuk Kaddish Hashem Tzavakis. So again, we see that idea that it was finally his turn, that it's everyday new angels. He never got his turn from the world was created up until now. Now, however, regarding this opinion of Chanam or Rav, regarding one of the elements he said, the Gemara asked Meisrei from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Chaviv in Yisrael of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how dear are the Jewish people in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisim Malach HaSharas, more than the ministering angels. Why? She Yisrael Em Mishir B'chol Shah. The Jewish people sing songs of praise every moment, every single day. Malach HaSharas Einar Mishir El Pamachas Bayem. Whereas the ministering angels, they only sing the song once a day, not every moment. Like the Jewish people, they say Kedusha, Shacharis, Mincha. Now, Vamrila, some say actually Pamachas B'Shabbos. They only say it once a week. Vamrila, some say Pamachas B'Chaydish, once a month. Vamrila, Pamachas B'Shana, some say once a year. Vamrila, Pamachas B'Shvu, once say once in a Shemitah cycle, which is once in 7 years. Vamrila, Pamachas B'Yevil, and some say only once in a Yevil cycle, which is once in 50 years. Vamrila, Pamachas B'Yevil, and some say only once in the history of the world. Now, whereas V'Yisrael, And again, as we said, whereas the Jewish people, they say it every Shah, every moment. Moreover, Yisrael maskirin es Hashem achar shtei teibos. The Jewish people, they mention Hashem's name after two words. Shnam like says the pasuk in Devarim, Shema Yisrael, Hero Israel, Hashem v'goyim, etc. We see the name of Hashem after two words. Whereas the Malach HaShar is maskirin es Hashem, they don't mention the name of Hashem in their song, el achar gimel teibos, only after three words. Kedem like says the pasuk in Yeshaya, Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish Hashem tzavakas, holy, holy, holy is Hashem the Lord of hosts. Moreover, the minister angels don't sing their song up above until the Jewish people say it below here on earth. Shemak says the pasuk in Ir says Baran Yachad Koich VeBaker, when the stars of the morning sing together, which refers to the Jewish people who are compared to the stars. Then the pasuk says VeYiriu Kol Bnei Elihim, and then all the sons of God, meaning referring to the angels, then they sing their song. Now, but one thing we see in this braisa is that the angels could only say the name of Hashem after three words, Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. And however, you said that the third group says Kaddish Hashem Tzavakis, which they're saying the name of Hashem after only one word. That's contradictory in the braisa. So Eli Rather says, Gemara, you're right. The way the teaching was is Achas Emeris Kaddish. The first group says Kaddish. The Achas Emeris Kaddish, Kaddish. The second group says Kaddish, Kaddish. The Achas Emeris, and the third group says Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish Hashem Tzavakis. So yeah, right, it's not like the third group starts at the last Kaddish. They repeat, but the first one says only one time, the second one says two times, and the third one says three times. But you're right, no one is saying Hashem's name of the angels before they have three words before him. But that is the Gemara, Baveka Baruch. What do you mean? There's the Pasuk of Baruch Kavayit Hashem Em Kaime that they say, which is mentioned after two words, and you said it has to be after three. So the Gemara continues, Tav of Tzadik Bezim and Aleph. No, Baruch, that Shira, Eifanahu Damrile, that is a different group of Malachim, which they're from the actual chariot of the Kisei HaKavod itself. And when we said our halacha, we were talking about regular Malachim, regular angels. They have to be after three. But that's the Ifanim, and those types, they could say after two words. Or if you want, you could say a different interpretation. Once permission was given to mention, because they already mentioned it already by Kaddish, after three words of praise, so Isyav was ready to give him permission to mention it explicitly. That's why by Baruch they could say after two words. But to start off, angels cannot say Hashem's name unless they already said three words beforehand. And again, in contrast, the Jewish people, who they say Hashem's name after two words, and other differences that the Jewish people we find have greater elements in regards to the Shir they say for Hashem, and therefore the Chaviven more than the Malachim themselves. And that was the idea that the Malach was telling Yaakov Avinu, that let me go, not because I'm a thief or a kidnapper, simply because I don't get my chance every day like you, the Jewish people. This was my one time since the world was created to go ahead and sing Shira for Hashem.